Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin. Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 578. We're in the book, Bina Bayis, Living Marriage, Journey into the Heart of Marriage, teachings by Rav Moshe Shachadowitz. It was written by Rabbi Mendel Weiss. We're in lesson number 7, Understanding Love. And we started to talk at the end of last year, and we're going to emphasize this point one more time. The words of the Reishis Chachma, which is mind-boggling and stunning. He explains that the couple's unique love that Hashem placed, that every husband loving their wife and vice versa, is not just about their own relationship, but allows them, this love Hashem implanted in them, to allow them to transcend into a new level of love towards Hashem. He quotes in Reishis Chachma, Sharahava, Perek Dalet, Islam Ebeis, from someone, Rabbi Yitzchak of Akoi, that there are stories in the righteous about people that said, and that they said as follows, that one who does not desire his wife is similar to a donkey and less than a donkey. Vatam, why? Why is that so? Because from the revealed senses, from the 5 senses, one must learn to apply what they can learn from these senses to the service of Hashem. So the desire, whether the physical, sexual desire, emotional desire, towards one's own wife, that brings about a Pesach, an opening, to open up your Ahavas Hashem, your true love to Hashem that you can't really have without that. This seems shocking. This statement, pretty much, that a person who doesn't love his wife properly will certainly not be able to love Hashem properly, and therefore he's less than a donkey. It's a mind-boggling concept, but it is a true concept. Now, what are you going to say? Someone says, well, right now I'm not married. Whether it's you're just reached bar mitzvah, you're not going to get married for a bunch of years. What does it mean? You don't have a Ahavas Hashem? Or someone right now is not yet found their shidduch or widowed or divorced. How does that work? So pertaining to, let's say, a boy that reaches bar mitzvah or a girl at that point in time, they could still attain, of course, certain levels of Avodas Hashem. And as you progress, 13 to 14 to 15 to 16, you grow in that aspect. There's no question about it. Of course, there are ways, every level, you're expected to love Hashem within that level that's within your grasp. So when you're bar mitzvah, you're not married yet, whatever it is, then yes, you love Hashem based on the level that Hashem puts in you that you're capable of doing. And you make the most of it, and you daven for it, and you can reach a certain significant level of Ahavas Hashem. But there's no question that after one's married, and in a healthy way encounters an intense love and desire towards his wife, and wife towards husband, so when he experiences that intense desire and love, he is expected now to use that very experience as a springboard to uncover an even deeper level of love of Hashem. That is how Oina, the right way, the sexual experience, the physical intimacy, used the right way, is a springboard to bring to greater Ahavas Hashem. If you're not married, you're expected to love Hashem as much as possible before having that transcendent unity of marriage. But Rabbi Yitzchak explains that it's absolutely impossible for a married person who never achieved the proper love of his wife to ascend to that level of Ahavas Hashem that one is expected to have when one is married. That's the Vart. If you're not married, you do your best you can, and you could have great levels of Ahavas Hashem. But if you are married, you have that Achrayas, because it's an opportunity, and it's a Pesach, there's no way you could reach those higher levels of Ahavas Hashem if you don't love your wife properly or if you don't love your husband properly to the extent that he says that you're less than a donkey. And it's a very simple concept. Love is an expression of a deep desire to unify to a loved one, to draw close to a loved one. That's the most basic natural expression of love in this world, which is a love of one's own wife or husband, which is actually part of the person themselves. So when one experiences this intense feeling towards his wife, then he'll be able to identify what love of Hashem is supposed to be and go up that ladder of Ahavas Hashem. After this, he goes through different 3 types of love based on the Rambam in Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav. And he goes through three types of love. There's a love of pleasure. There's a love of pleasure. What is love of pleasure? It's a lower rung love. It has its use. It could be directed in the right way. But love of pleasure is primarily related to physical desires. People mistakenly identify it as pure desire, not love. Now, this is a mistake sometimes when people say, oh, if it's pleasure, then it's all fake and phony. It's not always true. That's not always the case. You could have a physical desire towards something, and it's not just taiva. There's taiva connected to it that you have to be careful about, but some of it is a certain element of true love is built into it sometimes. So to understand what that means, and the Rambam talks about this over there, what does love of pleasure mean? And why love of pleasure is included in the greater category of love of rest. A love of rest. Let's say someone loves to rest, to have menucha. He wants to have menucha. That does not necessarily mean he loves to be lazy. It's very important to understand that distinction. Sometimes you just simply want to be lazy. Here, when you want menucha, you want rest, sometimes it's coming from a better place, not laziness. It comes from the need of a certain tranquility. You want a tranquility within yourself, a certain menucha within yourself. That in and of itself is a healthier drive. It's not laziness. When you want an hour where you could just chill and think clearly and rest that way, it's not necessarily laziness. It could be, but not necessarily. Sometimes it's a healthy need. And you could perceive this, the Mesillas Yesharim brings this down. Ramchal brings down in Mesillas Yesharim that the main use of physical pleasure in this world, why did Hashem create physical pleasures in this world, pleasure of eating, drinking, and oina, sexual pleasure, all of this is for a person to attain a certain nachas ruach, he calls it, a tranquility, a yishav hadas, he calls it, which is peace of mind, so that he will be able to turn his heart completely to the service of Hashem. By the way, that's healthy. Going back to married couples, when they strive to have a healthy, thriving sexual union where they each give and receive and experience great pleasure physically and emotionally, the purpose of it is that this gives you a menuchas hanefesh to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a complete heart, with a havva and yira. That's when you have an oina Shabbos, leil Shabbos properly. The next morning you get up early and you daven and your nishmas is special and the oina triggered that if you do it the right way. That's the purpose of physical pleasures, the Mesillas Yesharim says, to give you a menuchas hanefesh and a calmness and a fulfillment in yourself that now, okay, I have what I need and therefore now I could turn my heart to entire and tefillah and chesed. So even though there's different levels of love, the basic emotion of love is an emotional desire to draw close to that which is loved. It's not the physical desire or craving. So in this context, the Rambam is teaching us that one gains pleasure from another. An emotional love is awakened between them that will produce a desire to grow closer to the source of that pleasure. So, for example, in physical sexual intimacy between a husband and a wife, if you love your pleasure for in and of itself, just for selfish ego satisfaction, that's not healthy. But if you have that love of pleasure, you want to unite and be with your wife or husband and experience sexual pleasure in a unified way, but deep down it's because you want to draw close to the one which you love, that is beyond just simple or physical desire or craving. There is a healthy aspect for it. The example of this is, which is a chiddush, because we're told often that if you love something, that means that's physical for a pleasure, it's not love. Like there's a famous Baal Musar that talks about someone who loves fish. And it says, if you really love that fish, why did you trap it and kill it and cook it and eat it? That's the way you treat someone you love. You don't love the fish, you love your stomach. That is an important lesson to learn, by the way. It teaches us a powerful lesson of this lower level love, which is rooted in the lower parts of a person, like your stomach. However, one needs to know, and this is something that people don't talk about, that even those lower levels of love, you love that fish, there's a certain emotional connection to the one that is loved. You actually do love that fish in and of itself to a certain degree. It's not just the love of the stomach. There's a lower level real love that's there. The same thing applies to Amnon and Tamar, right? It says Amnon, the son of David HaMelech, became infatuated with his half-sister Tamar. The story talks about a physical-based passion, Ahavas Tamar, but it's Ahavas Tamar, not his own self-love. Why? Because even though the Chazal do negate it in a big way, and they say it's Ahava Hatluya Bedavar, right? And when your intention was too much on the selfish level, when that didn't work out, then it became hate. So there is a level in Amnon's love that wasn't healthy, obviously. But it wasn't just purely, totally selfish. There was a low level of love of Tamar herself at that time. So even if it's aroused by one's stomach or one's passion, it does create an emotional reality to want to become closer to that person. So even if a person does not have the desire to eat the fish because he's not hungry, he could still say he loves fish, meaning he has an emotional drive that's associated with it. If a person likes salmon, let's say, as an example, even when right now he's not hungry and he's not in the mood for it, there is a certain true lower level love that's connected with that, which could be elevated. So yeah, there are times when the lower level of love is rooted on that you love your stomach. You don't love the fish, you love your stomach. You don't love this woman, or like Tamar, you don't really love her. You love your own physical desires. There is truth to that, a lot of truth to that. But there is also an element of that lower level of love that could be there as a lower level to step towards it. Rabbi Yaakov Emden brings this down. He doesn't say over here where he brings it down, so I have to look it up. But he basically explains that if you have a cheshbon hanefesh, sometimes a person is able to come to an awareness that he not only desires a certain type of food, but loves that food. Therefore, you know, even tzaddikim, you see in the Gemara, it was puzzling to me in the beginning, that this person liked this pisyoni, this fatty bird, one tana like this and one tana like that. If one person, a tzaddik, may like sweet potatoes, another person may like regular potatoes. Some people would like red, even tzaddikim who are above their senses, but they love certain types of food. So what do you mean love? It's a love of the stomach? No. There's a love, Hashem placed holy sparks in them that gravitates you to that. And you have to use it the right way. So yes, there's a love of one's stomach, but there's also an expression of a true lower level of love that's not rooted in the love of the stomach. You're connected to the food itself, or the spark of godliness, the nitzitz HaKadosh that's within that food that makes you desire it. If for some reason you have a pull towards salmon, and that really you like a lot, or whatever the food may be, a certain type of vegetable, a certain type of fruit that you gravitate towards, it's something, a soul, it's not just the love of the stomach. There's a certain connection to it. You know, sometimes when a person is not in control of their eating habits, they overindulge. It's hard to tell what you really like or don't like. But when someone, the test really is when you work through it, and you go on a healthy diet, and you eat healthy foods, and then you start working on that for a long time, and you still have a pull towards specific foods, it's not just taiva. There is a certain aspect, and you just have to be mala it and benefit it. So that is the idea. So that's one thing, the love of pleasure. Then there is a love of benefit and similarity. That's a very frequent expression of love, when the common denominator is that two people are drawn together. Why? Because they come from the same place or have a common language, common worldview. They naturally tend to love each other. You're from the same Hasidus, you're from the same Litvish group, you're from the same modern Orthodox community. You're comfortable there, you're similar to each other. You view it as an extended part of yourself. So you naturally want to become close to them. This love of benefit also relates to this level of relationship. Right? There's one person that has a lot of money, but doesn't have knowledge on how to invest it properly. Another person knows how to make wise investments, but they don't have money. When they unite, each one contributes that their part. The one friend can give the other friend some financial benefit with his money that's helpful to that person, and that other person could share with the wealthy person wise advice on financial management and investments. So this is what the Rambam describes as love of partners. And we're going to go into marriage where even that aspect of it has value. People are cynical of it and say, what, if I love just for pleasure because I desire my husband or wife physically or sexually or emotionally, then it's superficial, not necessarily always true. You could bring that superficial into something real. Same thing over here. If part of the marriage is it's convenient because you click with each other in your backgrounds or in your financial status or are similar or your idea, these things may seem external, and it could become negative if that's the main focus only. But there is some value to those type of loves. It's not to be negated. And we'll be Mamshech Be'ez Hashem talking about these types of loves in the upcoming Shir. Bracha v'atzlacha.